Today's shiur is Masech Tegedushin Daf Nun Dalid, and we will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amabez, the last words, Amar Rav. To review, we learned in our Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis Amabez two machloikas between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. One machloikas was regarding if somebody is Mekadish, a woman, with Maisa Sheni. We have machloikas, Ramei says, whether it was B'shogig or B'mezid, like Kiddush, we don't have an effective Kiddushin. Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between Shagig, where she is not Mekudeshes, but Mezid, we have a valid Kiddushin. And then there was another Machloikis, if somebody used a Hegdish item to affect the Kiddushin, where again we have a Machloikis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, B'mezid, we have a valid Kedushin. B'shagig, we don't. According to Yehuda, just the opposite. B'shagig, we have a valid Kedushin. And B'mezid, we don't. Understanding Rameyer's opinion regarding Maisa, we said in the previous year, Rameyer holds the Maiser is Mamon Gevoya. Maiser is considered the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, it's not something that one can use to affect a Kedushin. And therefore we could understand Rameyer's opinion, both B'shogig and B'mezid, we don't have a valid Kedushin. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding Maisa, we explained as follows. If it was B'shogig, so the Gemara says, either the woman or both the man and the woman, had they been aware that this item was Maisa, would have never agreed to make a Kedushin under those circumstances, and that's why we don't have a valid Kedushin. By Mezid, since they knew, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it's considered mum and hedyet, it's considered the property of the owner, that's why it is a valid Kedushin. Hegdish, whereas we just said we have the opposite opinions of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, how do we understand the Machloikis by Hegdish? So, as we were saying at the end of the previous year, Rameyer is of the opinion that Mi'ila is passable by Mezid, not B'shogig. So therefore, if somebody took a Hegdish item and used it for his own purpose, B'mezid, we have a valid Kedushin, because it becomes Chulin, and it can affect the Kedushin. B'shagig, it remains Hegdish. And since B'shagig, it remains Hegdish, you can't use Hegdish item to affect Kedushin. Rabbi Yehuda, this is all Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, holds just the opposite. Mi'ila is only B'shagig, and therefore if somebody used a Hegdish item, B'shagig, to affect Kedushin, we have a valid Kedushin. On the other hand, B'mezid, the item remains Hegdish, and since the item remains Hegdish, we don't have a valid Kedushin. That was the way Rabbi Yochanan explained the Machloikisin in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav. So Rav says, Chazarnu akol atzdom shorameya. In trying to understand the opinion of Rameya, we have a very difficult time accepting what the Gemara is, what Rabbi Yochanan is assuming. To assume, says Rav, that Mi'ila is only B'mezid, not B'shogig, says Rav V'loi Mitzinu, for we do not find Hegdish B'shogig Eina Mischalel, B'mezid Mischalel. That it should only lose its status of Hegdish B'mezid, not B'shogig. As you, Rabbi Yochanan, are explaining, says Rav, the opinion of Rameya. So how do we understand our Mishnah? Says Rav, or Mishnah Seinu, B'ksoinus Kuhuna Shlebala. It's referring to the Big Day Kuhuna when they were not yet worn out. Hoyo V'nitna L'hanespen. Since one may derive benefit from these Big Day Kuhuna, L'fish L'nitnu Tayra L'malachai Sharas, because Rameya is of the opinion that the Tayra, the Kohanim are human, and therefore, even though they're only supposed to wear the Big Day Kahuna when they're doing their Avodah, it's impossible for them to only wear it for those specific moments. And therefore, if they used it, it's not a valid kedushin, because using it doesn't make them lose their status of Hegdish. Since, in the story we Rishonim explained, since Chazal told us that the Big Day Kahuna could be used and could be worn even when the Kohanim are not doing their Avoida, so we see that Chazal were more lenient with Big Day Kahuna, and therefore somebody uses the Big Day Kahuna B'Shoyeg, they remain Hegdish, and since they remain Hegdish, they cannot affect the Kedushin. Whereas, if they were used B'Mezid, so there, by using them B'Mezid, I specifically went and took them out of their status of Hegdish, and that's where Ramei will hold that it's considered a valid Kedushin. The Rishonim point out that even though this rule of Leishtei Nitnu Torah L'Malacha Asharis was set to the Kohanim in order to allow the Kohanim to wear the Big Day Kahuna even when they're not doing the Avoida, still say the Rishonim that the same thing would apply once Big Day Kahuna have the special leniency, say the Rishonim, the same thing would apply even by Yisraelim. The Miri and the Ritva both point out that even if Yisrael were to use Big Day Kahuna to affect Kedushin, it will be a valid Kedushin. If we're explaining, continue the Rishonim to say, that our Mishnah, according to Rav understanding, is referring to Big Day Kahuna, how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Rishonim, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that although the Kohanim are not Malachim, and they therefore can wear the Big Day Kahuna even after they did the Begad, they did the Avoida, still, that's only as far as wearing the Big Day Kahuna. They can't use the Big Day Kahuna for any other purpose, and using them from any other purpose would be Me'ila. And therefore, Yehuda follows his opinion that if B'Shogeg somebody used the Big Day Kahuna to be Mekadosh and Isha, it would be a situation of Me'ila where the Beged is no longer Hegdish, and therefore it would be a valid Kedushin. Whereas, if it were done B'Mezid, Rabbi Yehuda, as we said at the beginning of our shir, holds B'Mezid a Hegdish item that doesn't lose its status of Hegdish, and therefore cannot affect a Kedushin. The Rishonim ask a number of questions, Rishonim and Achronim. One question they ask is that the Big Day Kahuna were bought with the Shkolim money, money that Klai Yisrael contributed for the Machzor Shekel. So how could someone take an item that was bought with the Hegdish money, with the Shkolim, to affect the Kedushin? Answers the Migdash David, that according to this opinion, it wasn't bought, the Big Day Kahuna were not bought directly with that money. Rather, the way it worked was that they used regular money to pay for the Big Day Kahuna, and then they paid the workers with Hegdish money, but that's why the Big Day Kahuna, says the Migdash David, never attained the status of actual Hegdish Kedushas Domin. Another question that the Mefarshim ask is, we know that the Gemara says in Masechet Yuma that the Big Day Kohen Gadol, after they were used, were goinzen asar, were buried. If we're saying that they don't have this high level of Kedusha, why did they have to require Geniza? So some suggest there's a special Gzeres HaKosev, that that's the way they should be treated. Another explanation along the same lines is that there's nothing that can be done with them. Since they can't be worn again for another Yom Kippur, the only respectful way of dealing with them is by burying them. But then there's another approach that the Mefarshim suggest, which we're going to use, that suggests that there's a difference between the Big Day Kahuna of the Kohen Gadol versus the Big Day Kahuna of the Kohen Hedjit. And our Gemara is referring only to the Big Day Kahuna of the Kohen Hedjit that doesn't have the same mitzvah to wear them, unlike the Big Day Kahuna of the Kohen Gadol that have a much higher level. And with this, we can answer another question. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that with the Big Day Kahuna that were used, they went and they used them to make the wicks for the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. The question that comes up is that we see that they're not Kaddosh. We could use them for the wicks. Here, our Gemara seems to suggest that they do have a level of Kedusha. So some say that the Simchas Pesach Shoeva does represent an Avoida, and therefore, since it represents an Avoida, they can be used. However, others suggest there's a difference, as we just said, between the Big Day Kahuna of a Kohen Gadol versus the Big Day Kahuna of a Kohen Hedyot. And since we just explained that the Big Day Kahuna of a Kohen Hedyot are of a lesser level of Kedusha, therefore those Big Day Kahuna can be used to make the wicks. There are also Rishonim that suggest that our Gemara is only referring to the Kesoinis. However, the Avnate, which we know the Gemara tells us was made out of shatness, there, even though our Gemara says loy nitna tayra lamlache sharis, and it's impossible to mandate that the Kohanim could only wear the Big Day Kahuna while they're actually doing the Avoida, that's all the other Big Day Kahuna. But the Avnate, which is shatness, was never has the same din. It doesn't have the din of nitna tayra lamlache sharis, and accordingly the Machna says the Avnate would not be excluded from the laws of Me'ilah like the other Big Day Kahuna, because the special dispensation that applies to the other Big Day Kahuna doesn't apply to the Avnate. However, the Kesef Mishnah says that although the laws of Shatness require the one immediately that the Kohen immediately remove the Avnate, still that doesn't change that the Avnate has the same din as all the other Big Day Kahuna, and there would not be any meal of a Hegdish on the Avnate, just like the armed on the other Big Day Kahuna. I saw that the Shaals of Tshuvas Aynig Yontif uses this concept of Loinit Natar Lamlache Sharis to discuss a question in Hilchas Sukkah. He says that we know that a Sukkah, one is hooked to a mitzvah. It's considered designated for Dvar Mitzvah. Yet the halacha is that, and the halacha is that if it's raining, one doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Yet the halacha is that the minhag, he says, is that people don't necessarily immediately leave the sukkah as soon as it starts to rain. And the question he asks is why? If the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah, so I should only be allowed to sit in the sukkah while I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. The moment it starts to rain and I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah, I should not be allowed to use the sukkah. I should not be allowed to sit in the sukkah. Says Dani Gyantif, Lefish lo nitna tar lamlache esharis. As we learned in our Gemara, it's impossible to leave the sukkah immediately the moment it starts to rain. One doesn't even necessarily become aware that it's raining immediately. Says that in the Yontif, therefore the Chazal, when they said that the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah, say, only meant that it should be hooked to, while not to the degree that any extra use is not allowed to be done with the sukkah. Certainly, if a person has to be in the sukkah longer because he doesn't know, or for whatever reason, he will not be violating the concept of hooks and mitznosai. Toshma asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Ksonis kuna shabalo, if we have the beggar of a Kohen Gadol, the guy worn out, Maya al Behem, we see the subject to Ma'ila, Divir Remeya, my love, isn't the same thing going to be after even when they're not worn out? So we see that the Big Day Kahuna are subject to Me'ilah. So why, asked the Gemara, are you, Rav, explaining that our Mishnah Kohen Jermei is talking to the Big Day Kahuna that if the Shagig, they don't lose their status? Ask the Rishonim the obvious question. Rav explained our Mishnah is referring to Big Day Kahuna Shaloi Balu. How do we bring a raya from Big Day Kahuna Shabalu to Big Day Kahuna to Loibalu? So the Rishonim explain. Normally there's a halacha that if an item is no longer usable, a Dvar Hegdish is no longer usable, it's not subject to Mi'ilah. And therefore the Gemara's question is, if the Big Day Kahuna are considered so Kadosh that even when they're no longer usable, they're subject to Mi'ilah, certainly when they're still usable, they ought to be subject to Mi'ilah. And answers the Gemara, Loi Baludafka, only when they're no longer usable, so we no longer have the special Tanai Bezdin, then are they subject to Mi'ilah. But as long as Shloi Balu, because of the rule of Bezdin made the Tanai, Beflishle Nitna Tayr Lamlach Ashares, the halacha is that they're not subject to Mi'ilah. They're not subject to Mi'ilah when one used a Bishayig, and therefore Rameya holds that if somebody used a Big Day Kahuna to affect the Kedushin Bishayig, Loi Mukadeshes, because they're still considered the property of Hegdish, not the property of the person who gave it to the woman for Kedushin. Toshma asked the Gemara another question on Rav. The halacha was that they would bring every year the Machzis HaShekel, from which they brought the Kabonis. The Machzis HaShekel, the new Kabonis, starting from Nisan, were brought from the new coins. And three times a year, they would put all these coins in a room, and three times a year would they take coins to buy Kabonis. Which Chodesh Nisan, before Shavuos, 15 days before Shavuos, and 15 days before Sukkos. At the end of the year, next year Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they have to use the new coins. If they have leftover coins, those coins are called Atikin, the old coins. The new coins are called Chadatin. Furthermore, if someone neglected to give the Machzis Shekel 1 year, so he has to make it up and give it the next year, but when he makes it up and gives it the next year, he has to again, put it into the room of Atikin, and the Gemara is going to speak about the din of these Atikin. Toshmat says in a Braisa, Me'alam b'chadatin, Mi'ilah is only possible with the coins that are used to buy the Kabonis, Ve'ei Me'alam b'atikin, but there is no Mi'ilah with the old coins. Ramei Omer, Me'alam af b'atikin, there is even Mi'ilah with the coins that are in the category of Atikin. Sha'ir Ramei Omer, because Ramey is of the opinion, my Alan Bishiyari Lishka, the leftover coins that are left in that room, they are subject to Mi'ilah. Vamai is the question as follows. What did they do with those old coins? Neima, Hara V'nitna L'Hanis, those coins are used for items from which one may benefit. L'fish Lo Nitna Tayr L'Malach Esharis, because again, we apply the concept of Lo Nitna they used to build the walls of the city and the towers, and the halacha is that it's impossible to tell a person not to walk next to the walls of the city of Yerushalayim and benefit from the shade of the city. The Tanan, as the Mishnah teaches us, the walls of Yerushalayim and the tower, the Kotzach here, and everything the city needs, by Mishari Alishka. So again, it's impossible to avoid having benefit from the walls. So it should follow the same din that we learned a moment ago regarding the Big Day Kahuna. That according to Rav's explanation of Rameya, whenever we have an item that's impossible to avoid deriving benefit from, there is no Mi'ilah B'Shayik, and therefore it remains Hegdish, and therefore if one uses such an item, the Rameyer in our Mishnah says the Kedusha will not be a valid Kedusha. So is the question, asked the Gemara, why are these old coins subject to Mi'ilah if they're used for the walls, and walls are something that can't be used, walls are something that one may benefit from? And here the Mishnah clearly says, the Rameyer says, Me'alim, they're subject to Mi'ilah. And as the Rishonim say, the usual definition of the word Mi'ilah is B'shaygig. answers the Gemara, Loi Temer Rameya, don't say that the opinion of that Bryce is following Rameya, Ela Eimer Rabbi Yehuda, say that it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which we explained at the beginning of our shir, that Rabbi Yehuda will hold that if somebody uses these items for his own need, even if we do apply the concept of officially Nitna Torah L'Malacha Asharis, he will have transgressed Me'ila. Toshma, so the Gemara again attempts. The Tanya says in the Braisa, Amram Shmuel Yitzchak, Avnei Yerushalayim Shenashu, the walls of the stones of the walls of Yerushalayim that fall down. The halach is Mayalim Bahem, Divrei Meir. Now again, the question is, people have to have, as we said a moment ago, Hanar from these stones while they're attached to the wall. So why are they subject to Mila? Why, as Rav explains, don't we apply the concept of Leinit Notar L'Mlach HaSharis? Again, says Leitem Rameya, answers the Gemara, don't say that this is is following the opinion of Rameya, rather this Braisa is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the same Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah. There's an interesting tshuva for Ramosha that speaks about the wall, the stones of the wall of the Kaisel. And Ramosha says that the stones of the walls of the Kaisel, since the Medrash says that the Shechina loizaza mikaisel maravi, the Shechina will remain for there forever, so therefore they retain the Kedusha, and therefore even though the Gemara, he says that the Pasuk says Ubarba Pritzim v'chalalua, that the Pritzim desecrated the Mizbeach, and therefore they will not take stones from the Mizbeach, the stones of the wall of the Kaisel remain with the Kedusha, and therefore one may not take a stone from the wall of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He goes on to say that without going into the questions of Me'ila, he says it's certainly not respectful for one to take off a stone from the wall of the Kaisel. And besides that, he says that it's not respectful to take a wall of the stone of the Kaisel. He goes on also to speak at great length that if every people are collectors, so people collect pennies, he says certainly people who want to collect walls of the Kaisel, and if every Jew around the wall is going to chip off a little piece of the Kaisel, we're not going to be left with the Kaisel of Maravi, the place that we need to go to be Mispalo. Ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that this Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Yerushalayim Mekacha? This Braisa seems to suggest that the walls of Yerushalayim are Kadosh and are subject to Me'ila. Ask the Gemara, does Rabbi Yehuda then suggest that Yerushalayim to be Kadosh? But not. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Nedarim. We know that the Mishnayos Masechta Nedarim teach us about being matvis, that one of the ways of making a nether is by connecting the thing that I want to prohibit to myself to something else, which is Hegdish, which I created as Hegdish. So somebody said ki imra, this item should be like the lamb. Mefarsh explained that means a lamb that was designated as a carbon, or means that the carbon tamid, it refers to the carbon tamid that were brought lambs. Kedirim means the enclosure where they kept the kabanis that would be brought in the Mizbeach. Other Rishonim say it means where they kept the wood that they put on the Mizbeach. Ke'etzim means either the Atzei HaMarocha, the wood that was left in the Mizbeach, or the Shnei Gzirei Etzim that always had to be on the Mizbeach. Ke'ishim either means Kabanis, or means the fire that was always on the Mizbeach. Kehecho means like the Beis HaMikdash, or the say it means the Kabanis that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Kimizbeach either means that the Mizbeach itself, or the Kabanis that were brought in the Mizbeach. Ki Yerushalayim, he refers to the Kabanis that were brought in Yerushalayim, or to Yerushalayim itself, as we're learning. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kalayim Yerushalayim, if somebody says Yerushalayim, Lerama Klum, since Yerushalayim has no inherent Kedushin. So how can we say that the Braisa that suggests that the walls of Yerushalayim, the stones of the walls of Yerushalayim, are subject to Meila, Rabbi Yehuda is the very same Tana that says that Yerushalayim is not subject to Meila. V'chitayma, and you'll suggest the reason why Rabbi Yehuda considers that not a valid neder, because he didn't use the words Ki Yerushalayim, but had he used the words Ki Yerushalayim, it would indeed be a valid neder. But Tanya, but there's a Bryce that teaches us, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a call, I'm a Ki Yerushalayim, even if you said the words Ki Yerushalayim, lo yam a klum, achi yidah b'dava kar b'shalayim, unless you, that means something that's brought in Yerushalayim. So how can we say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the walls are subject to Me'ilah? Answers the Gemara, Trey Tanoim, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a machloikas Tanoim, what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is regarding Yerushalayim. There's a beautiful vart from the Baal Tzur Rebbe, who says, "Kol ha'omek Yerushalayim lo yomek klum." What the Mishnah is teaching us is, "Kol ha'omek Yerushalayim." If somebody just talks about Yerushalayim lo yomek klum, that's meaningless. A person's not supposed to just speak about Yerushalayim. A person's supposed to do for Yerushalayim. A person's supposed to go to Yerushalayim. Kol ha'omek Yerushalayim. If somebody just speaks about Yerushalayim lo yomek klum, that isn't enough. Ula. Mishmeid Rav Pauda. Now the Gemara goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of our shir, Reb Yochanan's opinion, that according to Reb Yochanan, Rameyah says that Me'ilah is only b'mezid, not b'shoigig. Omer hoy Rameyah, Hegdish b'mezid mischalul, an item of Hegdish loses its status for Hegdish when somebody used it b'mezid, b'shoigig e mischalul. For oy amr b'shoigig mischalul, this that we said that it loses its status of Hegdish, Ela Inyan Karmen Bilvad. Only regarding the halacha that he has to bring a carbon. That if somebody uses an item of Hegdish, even B'shoigig, the halacha is that he has to bring a carbon. But not that it loses the status of Hegdish. Says the Gemara, V'chid me'achar, this is difficult to understand. If it doesn't lose its status of Hegdish, carbon my mechayiv. Why should one be mechayiv a carbon? He hasn't done anything. Ela ki asa raven, parash mishmeid b'apada, oma harimeya, Hegdish b'mezid mischalo. Hegdish only loses its status of Hegdish if it was misappropriated b'mezid. B'shoigig, but if it was done b'shoigig, a mischalo. It doesn't lose its status of Hegdish. However, there is a time that even if it was done b'shoigig, it does lose its status of Hegdish. If somebody were to consume the Hegdish, that means if somebody took a Hegdish food and he ate it up and it's no longer in existence, then the halacha is that even if he did b'shoigig, it's subject to Me'ilah, even according to Rameyah. And Tosfos points out that this, we learned on the Amar Amar Aleph that if somebody used the coins of Hegdish, then they, even b'shoigig, a coin to a mayor, the subject to Me'ilah. But now ask Tosfos that our Gemara is suggesting that Me'ilah is only when you did kilui, when you consumed it, those coins weren't consumed. So Tosfos says, a very b'chiddush, Tosfos says that wherever you take and you actually use the actual item, even if the item is still in existence, that's considered a benefit like kilui, a benefit of consumption. And therefore, we want to take the coins of Hegdish and use them as a weight, for example, says the Tosfos, that would be considered a hanor shakilui, that even Ramei will agree one would be transgressing Me'ilah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Adbar Hava, Halacha k'Ramei b'Maisa. The Halacha follows the opinion of Ramei regarding Maisa. The Maisa is considered Mamun Gevoya. Hoya v'sosam l'mtanik v'sei. Since we're going to find a Stam Mishnah that follows that opinion. The Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'Hegdish, and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is followed regarding Hegdish, that Me'ilah is only b'shoigig, not b'mezid. Also, because Hoyo v'sosolon Tanaka v'sei, we find a Stam Mishnah that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Kermaya b'maisa mahi. Where do we find a stam mishnah that follows the opinion of Rameya regarding maisa? The Tanan. The mishnah says kem revayim. We know, we spoke about it earlier in our masechta, that fruit, the first 3 years that they're grown, are considered orla. After the first 3 years, they're considered kem revayim. That the halach is that those fruits should be taken up to Yerushalayim to be eaten. Kerem revai, b'shamar m'en l'chemish. The din, that if one redeems his own ma'aseh sheni, he has to add a chemish, doesn't apply by kerem revai. Then le'bir, the halach is that ma'aseh sheni has to be burnt in certain times, in the fourth year, the seventh year, that din doesn't apply by kerem revai. B'shamarim, yeshloi, that they do have the din of chaimish, that you have to add a chaimish, one is redeeming his own meiser, own kerem revai, and they have this din of beer. B'shamarim, yeshloi peret v'yeshloi oilulis, the halach is that if somebody has his own fruit, so there's certain matnas aniyim that one has to give. Peret are grapes that fall off the cluster during the harvesting. Oilless are clusters of grapes that are underdeveloped. That the din is that one has to leave those grapes for the aniyim. That since, says Beis Shammai, kerem revai is considered the produce and the property of the grower, so they're subject to the halachas of peret and oilless. Beis Hillel Omrim, kula lagas. Beis Hillel says that they're completely taken to the wine press, they're considered mum and gevoya. My time at Beis Hillel. Ask the Gemara, what is the reasoning of Beis Hillel? Gamri kodesh kodesh b'maisa. They learn exeris shavu for maisa. Ma maisa yesh lechaimish v'yesh lebiya. Just like by maisa, there's aloch, you have to add a fifth if you're redeeming your own maisa, and you have to burn it. Af kam revai yesh lechaimish v'yesh lebiya. B'shamrei, lo gamri kodesh kodesh b'maisa. B'shamrei don't learn that exeris shavu. Says the Gemara. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says that kemaisa, the kem revai is treated like maiser, like the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they're not subject to all the special dinim that apply to one's own property. Kaman svirlu, like whom the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel obviously hold. Ikar Yehuda, if they hold like the opinion of Yehuda, a my kula lagas, if it's considered my property, if it's considered like maiser, and if maiser is considered my property, and therefore the same thing will apply by kerem revai, for my property, I have to leave matnas aniyim. So why are they not subject to peret v'oilus? The fact that they're not subject to peret v'oilus, hama maiser manim hegeru, elalav, it must be that Beis Hillel is following the opinion of Rameya, that says the maiser sheni is considered mam gevoya, and that's why it's exempt from peret v'oilus. So says the Gemara, since we see that Beis Hillel follows the opinion of Rameya, it must be that Rameya's opinion is correct. So that's what the Gemara meant when it said that we have a Stam Mishnah that follows the opinion of Rav Meya. Says the Gemara, Kavihud Kehagish Mahi, the Gemara made a statement that we follow the opinion of Yehuda regarding Hegdish, because we have a Stam Mishnah like Reb Yehuda, and therefore only B'shoigig is there Mi'ila, not B'mezit. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Shilech B'yapikeach, if a Gizber by accident sent Hegdish funds with a competent person and told him to use it, the Niskar Achlagir Tzalchanvani, and the Gizber remembered before the Chenveni got those funds that this was subject, that these were Hegdish funds. And as we've learned, Mi'ila is only B'shoigig, not B'mezit. So the Gizber cannot be considered that he violated, because the Gizber is B'mezit. Chenveni Malik Shoigzi. So only the Chenveni does Mi'ila. So we see that it's only the Chenveni who was B'shoigig, who's guilty of Mi'ila, not the Gizber, because he's amazed. So we see that Mi'ila is only B'shoigig, not B'mezit. says the Gemara, Ukrab Yehuda b'mayis miloy tanan. The Gemara says, the Gemara said that we follow the opinion of Rameya by Maisa. The Maisa is considered Mamun Gavoya because we found a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, and don't we have a Stam Mishnah that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? For Tanan, the Mishnah says, Hapai the Maisa Sheni Shaloi, if somebody is redeeming his own Maisa Sheni, Maisa Loiv, Chemishasai. He has to add a fifth. And the halacha is, whether the Maisa Sheni was always his, whether it was given to him by a gift. Mani. Now, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Ilem Rameihi. If we're going to say that's following the opinion of Rameya, so the question is, could somebody give somebody else Maisa Sheni as a gift? Isn't Rameya of the opinion, the Rameya holds the Maisa is considered Mama Gavaya, and I can't give somebody a gift which doesn't belong to me? Elav, it must be that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So we see the Maisa is not Mama Gavaya, it's considered my property, and that's why I could give it away as a gift, says the Gemara Loi. We could say that Mishnah is following Loilam Rameya, is following the opinion of Rameya. Vachmai Skinin, Kigoyin Diyav Nirle Betivle, that he gave him the entire produce while it was still Tevel. And since he gave it to him while it was still Tevel, the Kesavar, and the Tan of the Mishnah holds, Matana Shloi Hurma, Kamish Loi Hurma Damya. Before the Maisa Sheni was actually separated out of the Tfuah, it's not considered as if there's a distinct portion of Maisa Sheni within this Tevel. And therefore, what was given was pure Tevel, and nothing of Maisa was given, and therefore it's not considered that somebody gave away a gift that doesn't belong to him. Toshma. So Gemara again attempts to bring a raya that we have a Stam Mishnah that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda regarding who owns Maisa Sheni. Who owns Maisa? Tashma, Hapai de Neter Vai Shloi. If somebody redeems his own Ped Neter Vai, Maisa Lof Chemishasai. He has to add a fifth. And again, the din applies Ben Mishloi, whether it's his own produce, or Ben Shenitlam Matana, whether it was given to him as a gift. So again, the Gemara's question is, Mani, who is the Tan of this Mishnah? Ilema Rameya Mimotsu Yavala. Could somebody give away Maisa? Could somebody give away Kerem Ravai? Haven't we said that the opinion of Rameya and the opinion of Beis Hillel is Gamri Kodesh Kodesh Rameisa? We compare Neter Ravai to Maisa. And just like according to Rameya, Maisa is Mamun Gavoya, and therefore under normal circumstances cannot be given away as a gift, so too should be the din by Kerem Ravai. Elalav, we must say that this Stam Mishnah is following the opinion of Yehuda. So why are we saying that we follow the opinion of Rameya by Maisa? Because there's a Stam Mishnah like Rameya, here we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara L'Olam Rameya. We could say that this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameya. Vachmai Skinin, Kigoyin Diyav Kishim Smother. He gave away these grapes when they were very small. That Rameya will be of the opinion that, well, it's still so small, they're not subject to the dinim of Kerem Ravai, because they're not considered at all at this point a peri. They're not considered as if they came into creation that we have yet a peri. With like Rabbi Yossi, this doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Dharma Smada Asam Neshu Peri, who says that even a grape which is very small is subject to Kerem Ravai. Actually, the Rishonim say that the Gemara could have given an answer that we're dealing when one gave the produce even before it's smother, in which case even Rabbi Yossi will agree. Smother, the Mefarshim explain, is when it's budding. With the even Rabbi Yossi would agree that at that point it's exempt from the dinam of Kerem Ravai. However, say the Rishonim, the Gemara want to show us that the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yossi, and that when fruit is only in the state of smother, it is not yet subject to the dinam of Kerem Ravai. Toshma. So the Gemara attempts another proof that we follow, that we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda regarding Maisa. Mashach mena Maisa b'sala. If somebody was purchasing from somebody else Maisa Sheni, And we know, we've discussed many times, that it becomes mine when I do a kinyan. So the Braisa says, the Mishnah says, that when I do Mashicha, it becomes mine. And therefore, if Hispik Leftoisai, I bought the Maisa from you, and the value was a seller. But until I actually pay you, the price goes up, Achim Omevich time, it doubles in value. The loch is nice and seller. I only have to pay one seller, Mustakba seller. I actually profited a seller because my act of Mashicha is what made it mine. Or Maisa Shen Shaloi, it becomes mine, and therefore I only have to pay one seller. Now the Gemara's question is, Mani, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Ilem Rameya, if we're going to say that's following the opinion of Rameya, a my mistake of a seller. Why is it considered mine from the moment I did Mashicha? We know regarding items that are kodesh, items that belong to Hashem, the pasuk says, "V'nasan as a kess of a kamloi amrachmana." They're not considered the buyers until he actually pays. So why over here, when I did Mashicha, is it considered mine? It shouldn't be considered mine if I only did Mashicha. Elalav, it must be that this Mishnah represents the opinion of Yehuda. The Meiser is considered my own property, and since is Meiser is considered my own property, it's already mine from the moment I did Mashicha. So here we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara. La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. It does follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'hocha chat stama. However, we only have one Stam Mishnah like opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'hocha trei stami, but there are two Mishnayos that are following the opinion of Rameya. It's a Mishnah Maisa Shaini and a Mishnah Masechta Igis. Says the Gemara, V'stam Adafka, if we're going to say that we follow the opinion of a Stam Mishnah, Mali Chat Stama, Mali Trei Stama. So the Rishonim explained that the Gemara's question is that if a Stam Mishnah is to be followed, what's the difference? How many Stam Mishnahs we have following an opinion? A Stam Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. That's the way many Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara even better. They say like this, what are we saying that there are two Stam Mishnayos that follow the opinion of Rameya? One Stam Mishnah, Masechta Maisa Shaini, and one Stam Mishnah, Masechta Igis. But if we look at these two Mishnayos, the wording of these two Mishnayos is identical. And therefore the Gemara's question is, that this should not be considered a situation where we have two Stam Mishnayos, when both Stam Mishnayos have the exact same wording. It's really one Stam Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Halach Rameya, the reason we follow the opinion of Rameya is not because of a Stam Mishnah, because we've also been able to identify a Stam Mishnah that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, Horovatan, the Bichorosik of us say, since we found a Mishnah Masechta Igis that follows the opinion of Rameya, and Mishnayis that are said in Masechta Igis are called Bichirosoi, language of Mufchar, the better, because as the Rashi explains, these Mishnayis were compiled by the Gedolim, that this is always the right, this is the way the Halacha always follows. The Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayis explains what it makes the Mishnayis in Masechta Igis preferable, because there was one day that the Mefarshim say was the day that they opened up the doors of the Beis HaMedrash when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, and that was the day that they wrote Masechta Igis, and therefore the Mishnayos in Masechta Igis are considered Mishnayos that are most authoritative. The Tveris Yisrael says that that's what the word Masechta Igis represents. The word Igis comes from the word Igis that we have, Igis always meaning the best. So Mishnayos that are in Masechta Igis are considered the most authoritative, and that's why we follow that the Mishnah Masechta Igis that follows the opinion of Rameya that holds the Maisa is Mamon Gevoya.